Hello, everybody, and welcome. And yes, I am Knuff. In Jesus, I'm Knuff, and so are you. And so we are going to talk about Barbie. And just to let you know, I'm so committed to this place that a few weeks ago I was talking to my assistant, Lynn, about this weekend, and thinking, because I go on study break right after this, so it gives me a few weeks for this to change. So I thought, you know what I'm going to do? We have a couple of hairstylists in our life group, and I'm going to go to one of them and bleach my hair blonde like Ken, and then it'll have some weeks to grow out, you know, and I don't know how involved that is, but, you know, it's kind of, and so then she, my assistant, it's good I have an assistant. Lynn said, well, you could bleach your hair. That's true. Or you could get a cheap wig from Amazon, and that might be easier. Like, yeah, you're right. That would be. And then even easier, I found out that Peter was going to wear a wig, and that really worked out. So I'm in good shape. But I would have done it. I thought about it. And I am going on study break, and you heard earlier about the prayer request, and I hope you will do that. Please pray for me. That's when I plan out the year, sermon series, other things. It's a real important time, and so please pray for me. Also, it's an opportunity to pray for you with the prayer requests, and I look forward to being able to do this. And while I'm gone, you're going to be in great hands with the series. You're going to hear from people like Eric Torrance, who's awesome, and April Farmer and Ryan Leak, and it's going to be a great series on a great topic. So that'll be great, and then I get to come back. So today is Barbie, which is quite a phenomenon, the biggest, highest grossing movie of 2023, $1.6 billion. It is the 14th highest grossing movie of all time. So clearly hit a nerve. And Greta Gerwig, who wrote the movie and directed the movie, really did, I think, an amazing job. And she covered things like a lot in under 2 hours. Commercialism and materialism, masculinity and femininity, patriarchy and gender roles, parenting and marriage, beauty and body image, corporate culture, authenticity and plasticity, just to name a few. Under 2 hours these days, where movies are like 10 hours, it feels like, is pretty amazing. And the reason I think she was able to do that is because she, in the movie, didn't really sort of answer the questions as much as raise them. Not really give a prescription as much as just raise the questions, and which I think is where art is at its best. And because of some of these issues, there was some controversy around it, especially among Christians. And let me just say to my fellow Christians who got a little grumpy about it, I love you. I'm so glad you're a Christian and in the family. But I'll also say, hey, relax a little bit. Because anytime people raise good questions, we should be positive about that. Like, that's great. Those are great questions. And let's take them to what God says and think through them deeply and contribute humbly to the conversation. And that's what we're going to do today. And in fact, there's so many different ways to go in this. That was my big problem in thinking of this weekend is with all, I mean, I could do a whole year, I'm not going to do this, but I could do a whole year's worth of series just on Barbie. I mean, that would make history, I guess, if we did that, but we're not going to do that. But there's so many topics and so many questions. And as I spent more time in the movie, I realized it's really much deeper than I realized. That even the gender wars, because people think, oh, that's what it's about. It's about Kens versus Barbies and feminism and so on. But it's actually deeper than that. All the gender wars and all that is really the setting for a deeper conversation or a deeper story and a deeper theme of the movie. And that is, at its heart, this movie is a transformation story. It's a transformation story of two people, and in culture, men and women, or in the movie, Ken and Barbie, in a transformation story going from one place to a much better place. And for us, it's an opportunity to think through some ways that we as Kens and as Barbies also have the opportunity to mature, to find meaning and purpose and significance and all of that in a much more significant way. And that's what we're going to look at today. Whether you're a Ken or a Barbie, how can we find transformation? How can we find meaning, purpose, and all that? And so I'm going to start with Ken, because I just want to keep the patriarchy going. That's a joke. Okay, but it actually just flows better to do Barbie here in a little bit. But first, we're going to talk about Ken in the movie and for all the Kens out there. And the Ken transformation story is about value and identity and about purpose and where he finds his purpose, because Ken is and Ken, right? It's Barbie and Ken. So there's no Ken apart from Barbie. It's not Kenland. It's Barbie land, right? It's Barbie and Ken. And so who is Ken apart from Barbie? And that's what he has to figure out and what he has the opportunity to figure out. And that's a big part of the movie. So Ken follows Barbie when Barbie decides to go to the real world from Barbie land. And as they go into the real world, it is reverse of Barbie land, because it's not Barbies that are in control, but Ken's. And Ken sees that, and he's seen, and he's heard, and he gets this concept of the patriarchy, which in his version is men on horses rule everything in the real world. And he loves the idea, right? And for a little bit, it feels empowering, and it feels like growth and transformation for him. He comes back earlier to Barbie land than Barbie does, and he brings that with him. He makes it, turns Barbie land into Ken land, and kind of brings the patriarchy into Barbie land. And it's so, and well, let's just see this first clip and you'll get a flavor of that. Okay, so I should have worn the mink, obviously. I should have thought about that. So he's on an awkward journey, right, of finding his value, finding purpose apart from Barbie, and what does it mean to be Ken. And he does this for, and what happens there may feel like growth for him, but it's really a detour from real transformation and real growth. And through the movie, he does get to a different place. He's still in process, like all of us Kens are, as he begins to find his purpose as Ken, not Barbie and Ken. And toward the end of the movie, we see that scene. So let's once again watch. Okay. So Ken is Ken, or Ken is me. He's figuring out who he is apart from Barbie, his value, his purpose. And that's really the conundrum of Ken. It's a crisis of connection and a crisis of value and a crisis of purpose. And I think for those of us who are Kens, it's easier for me to speak for Kens than Barbies. We'll get to Barbie, but as Kens, we can tend to be pretty isolated. We can tend to find value and purpose in all the wrong things. And certainly that's part of what's going on here and in our culture. In fact, when you look at our culture, and as women are progressing and should, and we'll talk about that, and that's a wonderful thing to celebrate, what you actually find in culture right now is that the biggest group of strugglers, the demographic in our culture that is struggling the most, is young men. And that's not just an opinion, or that's statistically true. Young men are significantly more likely to have anxiety and depression. They're by far the least connected and loneliest in our culture. 3 times more likely to be addicted. 4 times more likely to end life by suicide or overdose, 12 times more likely to be incarcerated, 2.5 times more likely to be homeless. And right now, young women outnumber young men as college graduates 2-to-1. And as so many things are progressing for some and should, and I know it's hard and a long way to go, we'll talk about that. I'm not trying to diminish anything for Barbies out there. But we also have to pay attention to young Kens, especially to Kens. Because it is a crisis of connection. It is a crisis of purpose. Because in a world like this, it's so easy to isolate. A digital connection is not connection. And it's easy to find purpose in all the wrong places, because really, purpose is only found in one place. And that's true whether you're young or middle age or old as a kin. Colossians 1 says this: we look at this son, talking about Jesus, and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. If you're looking for purpose and meaning, there's only one place to find it, and that is your creator. In relationship with God, in connection with other people, building your life around a bigger mission. We're even specifically designed for that, which we saw in the first week of the series. I'll read a longer passage from Ephesians. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared for us to do. For those of us who are kins, it's true of Barbies too, but for those of us who are kins, God wants you and me to find our purpose in him. He made it possible for us to build our value and relationship with him and to build our life together with other people who are committed to a bigger purpose than just us. And honestly, anything short of that is we're not gonna thrive. And therefore, there's specific steps that we've got to be willing to take away from isolation to connection, away from being distracted by other purposes like kin. You know, our purpose is not in beach, our job. Our purpose is not in our girlfriend, or if you're a girl, boyfriend, or whatever. It's not in the opposite sex. Our purpose is found in God, and in his, and together we can live that out. And therefore, I encourage you this summer to take a step toward connection, to take a step toward purpose. It'd be easier not to. It'd be easier to stay isolated, be easier to stay distracted, but there's so much life that you're missing if you don't. And there's something coming up for guys that is such an easy first step, and that is on July 13th is a charity poker night at every campus. And probably the same people who are bothered about Barbie are bothered by poker night at church. So I you know, but it is a charity poker event and for local good, but a great way to just connect physically with other people and build some connections and build some relationships and see where it goes from there. So that's kin. Now let's talk about Barbies. And what I thought I'd do is do you ladies a favor, and that is mansplain to you what it's like to be a woman. So, because I don't think you get it. So, no, I'm not going to try to do that. That was my dilemma, right? Talking about Barbies, it's like, really? And so, we are going to hear a quote from a woman to get her perspective in a little bit. But also, I spent time talking to women in our church. I went to two different small groups that are women's small groups, and it was really fun and good to do that. And one thing I found out is that this movie, at least with the people that I spoke to, 100% said this movie really spoke to them. They really felt seen. They really felt heard. And it was a very powerful experience, which is awesome. I thought that was great. And it confirmed what, and I'll share about this after a clip, but what it seemed like from the outside looking into women, that it is really hard. I know we talked about how young men are struggling and men in general, but it's not easy. It's hard to be a woman in our culture. And what you see in the Barbie part of the transformation, her transformation story is about moving from plastic, perfect life to an authentic life where she embraces imperfection and finds real transformation, because that's the only way to find real transformation. But there's so much pressure on women to be perfect and to be good enough. And this scene is so powerful that illustrates it. Let's watch. So ladies, do you relate? When I went in those groups, what I shared really from my perspective, and I just said, I don't know if this is true or not, it's just my perspective as a kin from the outside looking in, is that it must be really hard to be a woman in our culture because you're expected to be good at everything. You're expected to be perfect. And they added, yes, and we expect each other to be that way too. and that women maybe are the hardest, not only on themselves, but on each other. And we had this, you know, great conversation. And because, you know, it seems like as a guy, I don't know how many times, you just get a pass for being a guy. I mean, I've heard a lot, you know, well, you know, he's a guy. You know, he's a dude. Like, you know, somebody says something stupid or doesn't look just right or whatever. It's like, oh yeah, well, he's a guy. Or like even, like people told me, somebody told me this week on our staff, they got the short straw to tell me I needed to get a haircut. And so, which, you know, is okay. And I just don't even think about that stuff. And so I got a haircut, but I should go to a place that, you know, I should think about it. But instead, when I get like 20 or 30 minutes and I'm driving by a place and it says haircuts, I just stop in and say, can you do it right now? And if I can, I leave. And if I can, I do it. So it's really rolling the dice on that, right? But I figure I get a pass because I'm a guy. If I get a bad haircut, well, I'm a dude. I'm a guy. Nobody cares. Like when we go out to eat with people and Christy will be like, so what are you going to wear? I'm like, what do you mean? What am I going to wear? I got a short and t-shirts I've worn all day. I mean, it's good. It's mostly clean and, you know, a few spots here, but it's, you know, I'm good because I'm a guy, right? Nobody expects me to, you know, look impressive or anything, but I just don't have to think about that the same way. Or like if you come to my house and it's not just perfect and all that, nobody's going to look at me as a guy, right? They're going to look at Christy and be like, man, she needs to kind of get it together. Nobody, but with me, it's going to be like, oh, yeah, he's a guy. Or when our kids were little growing up, you know, they were running around everywhere and disobeying or whatever. Nobody really gave looks to me. They would give the looks to her, right? It's not fair, but that's what happens in our culture. There's just a lot of pressure to have everything together and be perfect. In our culture, it's like for everything. Like now in career, you've got to be great because there's barriers that are there and you better be great and you feel that and you have to look a certain way and act a certain way. If you become a wife, well, now you got to be a really good wife and you have kids, you got to be a really great mom. And you would think that if you become a Christian, and a lot of you have become Christians, that would kind of take the pressure off. But it doesn't, because now you've got to be the perfect Christian woman, the perfect Christian mom, if you're a mom, or the perfect Christian wife, if you're a wife. And there can be even more pressure. Like I did a little survey or a little web surfing and more social media surfing, I guess, like looking at Instagram and different things and looking at influencers who were Christian women influencers. And I ran into all these perfect Christian families. Have you seen them? I was so intimidated. I mean, they do all this homemade stuff and their kids are perfect and all, and it's the mom that's at the center of this perfect thing. And for some reason, a lot of times these people take pictures with fedora kind of hats and long flowy cotton dresses. I don't know what that is, but I just noticed that. But I was looking at that and thinking, man, that's intimidating. I mean, I'm such a loser. Our family never looked like that, even in our best family pictures. But again, woman's at the center of that in those. And let me just say this. I've been doing ministry a long time. And when you see those perfect facades like that in Christianity, they are not real. It's plastic. It's Barbie land. It's not the real world. And don't be intimidated by it. In fact, it's dangerous, because what I've seen over the years is it's not so great behind that facade, and it's destined to crumble. And where God is, where transformation is not in perfection and plastic and facades. Where God is, where transformation is in authenticity. That's what Jesus said when he came. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Poor in spirit is a way of saying spiritually poor, meaning realizing I don't have any perfection to offer. I'm spiritually impoverished. You could translate it this way. Blessed are those who are screwed up and know it, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's all available for the imperfect. The perfect people will never go where God is calling us to go. It's about embracing our imperfection and our weakness and glorying in that, as Paul said. Because that's where we find Jesus. I'm just to hear from not just a Ken on this, as I was doing a little bit of research, I ran into this quote by a Barbie named Hannah Anderson, and I thought it was really helpful. She said, "We do not sin that grace may abound," as Paul said in Romans, "and yet grace abounds when we sin. Somehow God can take our failures and bring them and bring from them a richer, deeper understanding of both ourselves and his grace. In a divine irony, we only understand grace when we have need of it. Or as Jesus put it, the one who's been forgiven little loves little, while the one who's forgiven much loves much. In this way, transformation requires that we leave behind plastic ways of being and embrace our God-given humanity, flawed as it is. It requires that we move from idealized forms to the complexity of embodied lives. It requires that we leave Barbie land. As we embrace the imperfection of our lives, as we accept a world marked by doubt, sin, and death, we do so confident in the reality of God's love for us. In the end, it's not our mistakes that make us whole, but God who redeems our mistakes. It is God who, despite knowing our every weakness and disobedience, calls us to rest in his perfect obedience. Or as a friend of mine put it recently, it is God who through Christ says to his faltering children, "I know exactly why you are where you are even more than you do. The reasons are even deeper than you know, and I'm personally gonna vouch for you, just be." In this way, the love of God makes us real. Or as Jesus said, "Come, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." Because he is perfect for us, and that's applied to our account. And therefore, people who truly find transformation are those who move from the perfect plasticity that often can happen in Christians and in Christian small groups and all that kind of, we've got to leave all that behind and say, man, let's be for each other and let's be real and let's be authentic. And as imperfect people, let's move toward all Jesus has for us. And yet that's a choice. Now you see that choice in the movie because Barbie makes that powerful choice to move from Barbie land to the real world, move from perfect to imperfect, and to be human, to be fully human. And it's also another just powerful scene, and we're gonna see that then leads to a song. Let's watch. So Jesus's invitation for all of us in this crazy culture, in the real world, for Kens and Barbies, is the same invitation, and that is this: come to me, all who are weary and burdened down, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He invites all of us to walk with him into a whole new life. And the way we come is as we are. All it says is come. All who are weary and weighed down. And whether that's because of isolation or pressure or perfectionism or misplaced purpose, whatever the burdens are that weigh us down, I mean, all of us are weighed down by that. It's an opportunity to say, walk with me into a whole new life where we can authentically embrace imperfection and over time be perfected, even as we're honest in our weaknesses. And what church is just a group of very imperfect people who gather together around a common relationship with Jesus, who's changing us from the inside out over time, and around a common mission, because God uses messes to do his mission. And let's be that church. And I invite you to take steps toward Jesus wherever you are right now. I mean, let's do that together, but individually, I want us to go to God in prayer right now. I just invite you to bow your heads before God. And I want you to think about that invitation. Come, all who are weary and weighed down. It begins with a relationship with Jesus. And right now, this may be your time to say yes to Jesus, to say, God, I want a relationship with you. Jesus did everything to make that possible. Well, that's why he came and died on the cross for our sin and was raised from the dead and offers forgiveness freely as a gift and relationship with him as a gift. And we just simply say yes, and it could be your opportunity to say yes. And for those of us who have said yes at some point in the past, it's an opportunity for us to just come to him if we feel weighed down, if we feel pressure, and just right now in your heart to say, God, would you take the pressure off? just like a relief valve, just because of your grace. Help me embrace your grace enough that I can, the relief valve could go, phew. I don't have to be perfect because Jesus is perfect on my behalf. And you see me and you know me. And like you say in Psalms, he knows who we are. He knows that we're just dust. He loves us in our imperfection. And for those who are isolated and lonely, for those who are looking for value and purpose and things that just really don't do that much for you in the end, for those who are just trying to put up a facade or trying to be accepted by other people and weighed down with what other people think, just say, God, would you just help me put all that behind and follow you into your way? And to know your grace and know your love for me. In Jesus' name, we pray this for all of us. Amen.